My guest was an incurable quadriplegic who saw in a vision the exact time and place where she would be healed. On that day, her body was instantly restored. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. What would it be like to be born cerebral palsy, quadriplegic, and then at age two, both of your parents die? Marlene Kleps, what was it like as a child with all these, let's call it, strikes against you? That's a tough way for a kid to come into this earth.
It's tough, but it didn't seem any different because that's how I grew up. I mean, that's what, you know, that's what life was. So it didn't seem like I was that much different until I got old enough to get out of the house and start watching other people and, you know, seeing how they acted in response to me.
Did that bother you a lot, though, when they would stare at you or things like that?
No, it really didn't.
Really?
No, I can't say that kids made fun of me that much. I think adults had more of a problem with what, you know, what was going to happen to me than kids did.
Describe what you were like. I mean, how could you speak clearly?
I didn't speak clearly. I had a speech impediment, but I was able to. At age five, they put equipment on me, and I had braces on my legs, mm-hmm. and I had a high build-up walker, and there was like a collar on the back, strap on the back of my neck collar, and that's how people picked me up and down. And so I drug myself that way. I wasn't ever supposed to walk at all. So for me being able to walk, you know, with that condition at five, to me, I didn't know Jesus, I didn't know God, but I knew enough to thank him because it wasn't, you know, supposed to happen.
Let me ask you a bit about what was going on inside of you, because you didn't have a relationship with God. You didn't have your natural parents. You're in this prison, this right. body that's not working right. People are looking at you. I don't understand why it didn't bother you.
I don't know why it didn't bother me either, except that life was enough, hard enough that living was what you had to focus on, so you didn't worry about what they thought.
As you grew up, tell me what some of your, describe the way you were at your worst moments.
Well, I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 12, so prior to that point in growing up, when, you know, starting into junior high, at that point, I started to get really lonely and really withdrawn because communication was hard and the differences became more extreme, you know, because everybody else was doing things with peers. And at that point, though, at 12 years old, I met Jesus, and it was so simple because these people came up to me and they just, you know, they asked if I wanted to accept Jesus in my heart, but they didn't know if I understood, but Christ knew me. I mean, and he understood what I was saying. And so all I did was simply ask him to come into my heart, and he instantly did. And by doing that, it gave me a purpose to live. And it didn't matter what my body was like. It didn't matter that I couldn't read. It didn't matter that I didn't walk right. It didn't matter that I had seizures all the time. But because with Christ in my heart, it gave me a purpose because I was alive to live for him.
Now, are you saying to me that when you would speak to people, they could not understand you?
It took effort to understand me. I'm not saying that people didn't understand me at all, but it took effort, and it was much easier if they knew me.
Well, there was a moment in time that was awful. They thought you were brain dead.
That's correct.
Tell me about that.
Well, when I was 18 years old, I started having more seizures and more spasms. And there was a time when I had a seizure that almost lasted 2 days. And I don't remember it. I don't remember the pain of it. I don't remember any of that. And I didn't remember it at the time, but I remember coming to, and I was in St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City, Missouri, and the doctors are in my room, and my grandparents are in the room, and the doctors are telling my grandparents that they think that I'm brain dead, and I can hear them.
Wow, that's got to be such a horrible predicament. I mean, did you have thoughts of they're going to bury me alive?
No, I was just scared. I knew Jesus with all my heart. I knew that I was going to go to heaven. That wasn't an issue. But with people not knowing that you existed, because at that time I couldn't get sounds out of my mouth. I wasn't able to communicate. I didn't have any voluntary movement of any of my limbs. And so the fear came over me, and it was fear of the unknown, like what's going to happen. And Jesus' presence came so close, and he just kept telling me, he said, I love you, and I'm going to take care of it. I love you, and I'm going to take care of it. I love you, and I'm going to take care of it. And it was over and over like a heartbeat. But what is so profound to me is that it wasn't anything profound that he said. You know, it was it wasn't like he, you know, gave me some amazing scripture that I was going to use, but his presence was so real and so tangible that anybody could have it. And I would get anxious, and he'd come back again, and he'd say, I love you. And I'd go, you know, I'd sleep then, and then whenever I'd get anxious again, he didn't condemn me. He just kept saying, I love you, and I'm going to take care of it.
How did they know you were alive and not brain dead?
They took me to Rochester, Minnesota, Mayo Clinic, St. Mary's Hospital, and there they found out I wasn't brain dead. They also found out that I had partial movement of my eyes and partial movement of some facial movement of my mouth, and that was all the movement I had left in my body. You could lift up my head, it'd fall back over. My knees were bent up into my body. My arms were bent up. My body never stopped shaking, but God said he loved me and he was going to take care of it.
Well, with a word like that, did he take care of it?
Well, actually, I hate to be honest about this, but I got upset because time went on, months went on, and nothing happened. And he said he loved me and he was going to take care of it. And they were making plans to send me back to Missouri to the nursing home. And I had never lived in a facility like that. And I at this time, I had become 19, and I was angry. I thought, Father, you know, you said you're going to take care of it. And if this is all you've got to offer, my thoughts were, just forget it. And as best as I could talk to God, I yelled at God. And I'm not proud of this at all, but I yelled, and noise came out of my mouth, and it scared me. And the noise was, you know, as forceful as I could get. And I yelled, God, stop. In other words, just get out of here. And his presence hit that room so thick that you could feel it.
Well, I could understand why she got so upset. Can't you? I mean, here she's quadriplegic, she can't speak, they just realize she's not brain dead, I mean, and God's going to take care of it, and she's not getting any better, and she got angry. And then this presence, it's some of you can feel this presence of God right now. This presence just went all around her, and something was going on. We'll be right back after this. Hello, YouTube Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter, here with Marlene Kleps. Could you picture being orphaned at age 2, being paralyzed, quadriplegic, if you will, not being able to speak clearly, at a point in your life thinking you were brain dead, God says he's going to take care of it, and nothing happens, and they're going to put you into a nursing home, and you're going to just vegetate, and so my guest got very angry with God. You can understand. And all of a sudden, a presence, the Spirit of God, came right all around her. And then what happened, Marlene?
Well, you could feel God. I mean, it literally felt like a light blanket. You could feel him everywhere. And I had this vision of this person out riding this bike on this beautiful green grass. And I was used to praying for people, but I had never had a vision, and I thought this was somebody I was supposed to pray for. And so as I'm getting closer to this person, though, in this vision, I realize it's me. And when I realized it was me out riding this bike on this beautiful green grass, and then it just went from stage to stage, and he showed me inside a church, and he showed that I had on rust-colored corduroy pants, a striped velour shirt. He showed the people gathered around me praying for for me. He showed the carpet in the church, the woodwork in the church, and then in the back of the church on the door, it looked like a triangular glass doorknob. And then in great big bold black letters, it says March 29th. And that was the day that God wanted to heal me. And I didn't know figuring out the 29th day of March was even hard for me. I didn't know what day it even was. And my roommate figured out that the 29th day of March was on a Sunday. And I don't know why we thought it made any difference, but we were just like, it's all falling into place. And the 29th's on a Sunday, and, they have church on that day, and God can do anything any day, but I was naive enough to think that this was important. And then the shirt that I had on in the vision, it came to me in the mail. And we started getting all these confirmations that, this was God. And the deal was, I didn't know what God wanted for my life. And now I know, that God wants this for His people. He wants this for His children. But I didn't know that.
Now, did you really believe you were going to be healed, or did you hope you were going to be healed?
No, I knew I was going to be healed.
You knew it?
Yes.
Were you getting pretty excited?
I started making plans. I actually did things that were, you would think making plans was good, but I made plans that truthfully were wrong. I tried to figure out where this church was, and I just knew it was in my home church because they were building a new little church there. Well, I was totally wrong. But you know what? It didn't matter. God still wanted to do it. And the 28th day of March got there, the day before God said He was going to heal me, and I got scared. And I wasn't scared about the healing not happening as much as I was scared of, He's going to do this in me. I could pray for people and believe that God was going to do things, but when you're talking about me, I knew what my heart was like. And I thought, God, You can do anything You want to do, and I know You want to heal me now, but I'm scared it's not going to happen because, we're talking about me. And I realized, I'm a person that has anger. I'm a person, that has emotions. And I remember thinking, God, forgive me of all my thoughts. And He came to me and He did. And He goes, you could hear Him internally, and He goes, hush. And as I got real peaceful, He said, in the morning, have the nurse get the yellow pages, and I'll give you the name of the person.
Did you sleep that night?
No, I counted down every time they were turning me over, and they turned me over every 2 hours, and I counted them down, and that's how I knew when morning was coming.
They had to turn you over because you could not turn yourself.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah, okay, and so morning came.
Morning came and the nurse came in, just as a normal day, and she's going to feed me and I won't let her. And I kept going, yellow pages, yellow pages, yellow pages. And that nurse went and got these yellow pages just out of what else do I do? And when she went and got them, she opened them up and two lines glowed off the page. And it said, Open Bible, Scott Emerson, and a phone number. And this lady was so scared by what was happening, she threw down the book and left the room. And finally, about 12:30 that afternoon, she comes back into that room. She picks up the phone and she dials the number that was on that page. And she's got the phone to my ear, and we're trying to talk to this pastor, but it's not working. He can't understand me. The noises aren't making sense to him, and he's going to hang up. And the nurse picks up the phone and she says, sir, I don't know who you are or where you're at, but you better get down here.
Did he come?
Yeah, he came out of obedience, not out of him thinking anything was going to happen. And he searched for several hours to find that room because she didn't give him enough information. She didn't tell him which of the two hospitals. She didn't give him my name. And finally that afternoon he shows up. And with the help of that nurse who stayed on past her shift and the evening nurse that I had that night that was a Christian, I spoke to him and they deciphered what I was saying. And he agreed that this vision was the inside of his church. It was the carpet, it was the woodwork, it was the doorknob. We just described his church to him. But he doesn't appear to be asking us to go at all. I mean, this isn't anything, he's thinking about. And so I said, well, does your church believe in salvation? And he says, yes. And then I said, does your church believe in healing? And the room just got cold still. And he responds by saying, our church, we believe in healing, but we've never had any, and you plan on me starting on this one?
Oy vey. That's a Hebrew way of saying, enough is enough. They never had a healing in the history of this church. And he's taking a look at Marlene, who has to be rolled over because she can't move herself, quadriplegic. He can barely understand what she's saying, and she wants to come to his church to be healed. Oy vey, we'll be back right after this. Hello, Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I know that you hung in there. I want to go to the control room and talk to Janie Duvall. Let's find out who our guest is next week. Janie?
You'll be interviewing a woman who has seen epileptics healed, deaf healed. She was healed of cancer and hypoglycemia. But she says that people do not have to go through years and years of counseling to be emotionally healed. She was emotionally healed in 2 hours.
I'm really looking forward to that interview. Thank you, Janie. I have here Marlene Kleps. And Marlene, 2 years old, orphaned, inside a body, quadriplegic, can't speak. I mean, unless people listen very hard, they won't understand what she's saying. And she is given a vision of the building she'll be healed in. She's given the exact date she'll be healed in. She goes to the Yellow Pages, and the name of the church, which she's never been to, jumps off the page. The nurse calls this pastor. She doesn't even give the name of the hospital and the name of Marlene Kleps. And this pastor shows up. Marlene tells him what she saw. The pastor says, "That's a description of my church, but no one's ever been healed here." So what happened next, Marlene?
Well, he finally agreed, and they take me. They get a pass from the doctor, and they take me inside, and there's seven people there on this Sunday night church service. Two of them are little tiny kids. And they lay hands on me, and when the pastor goes to pray, he says, "Marlene, I really don't know how to pray for you." And then all of a sudden, he just says, "God, we ask you to heal her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet." And then they ask if I wanted to stand up on faith, and I didn't know what that meant. All I knew was I wanted to stand. And I went on, which meant yes, and they stood me up, and as they did, the contractures fell out of my body, my feet hit the floor, and I felt the floor for the first time in my life. And then I took a few steps while they were holding on to me, and they let go of me, and we started making laps around the church.
Laps?
Laps.
You couldn't even stand, let alone walk or run. You made laps around, but your muscles must not have been enough.
Well, I didn't walk greatly, but we went around and around and around, and every time we went, the better it got and the better it got.
And I can hear what happened to your ability to speak. Was that instant with the speech, or did that?
Everything worked. I mean, I didn't know how to speak properly, but there wasn't a muscle that didn't work.
It's a dumb question, but I've got to ask it. How'd you feel? How did you feel when your feet touched the ground for the first time in your life?
Well, you know what? When you're not used to it, it's a strange sensation. Because it's almost, you know, it's almost annoying because you're not used to those feelings. I mean, I still feel things differently now than I think most people do.
Because I know you and I've seen you walk all over the place, but for those that are watching, would you do me a favor? Would you just stand up and would you take a couple of steps just in place because we don't have much room on the set? It's wonderful. So why don't you sit? Say? God performed a miracle. What did the doctor say?
Well, they actually were as amazed, and I have to give them credit. They were very good to us. They then on Monday did brain scans and all kinds of testing to see what was happening, and the brain damage that I had from birth, that they even had brain scans prior that week before to show, was totally gone. And there was one man that even stood up in the middle of a doctor's conference that yelled, "Praise the Lord," when I left on Tuesday.
Did they admit it was a medical miracle? I mean, doctors don't like to say this. What did they say?
All of them had to admit it was something they didn't do. I mean, that's written all over. Now, some of them, you know, didn't want to say it was Jesus Christ, but they knew that it was something that they didn't do. There wasn't any way.
And you were orphaned at two.
That's correct.
Now, God took care of those two problems. The first problem was you were quadriplegic and could not speak. The second problem is you didn't have a natural mother or father to be raised with, and you always wanted a mother.
That's true. The summer after my healing, I was laying praying, trying to find out what God wanted me to do with my life, because my life is His, just like anybody else's. And He spoke to me and He said, "Do you still want parents?" And I said, "God, it's too late now. I'm almost 20 years old. It's too late." And He said, "Well, you probably have 60 years left." And I said, okay, God, I want parents. And in 3 days, I met my mom. Now, I didn't know she was my mom, but she asked me then if I wanted to be part of the family. That God had spoken to her and told her that I was a child she'd always wanted. Now, she has two other children. She also is married, and they, you know, that was orchestrated together. But we can go back in her prayer life. This blesses me more than anything. And she prayed for me when I was a baby. She prayed for me when I had surgery done as a teenager. All of that. You know, the Father knows everything, and whatever we need from the Father, whether it's a parent, whether it's healing, whether it's emotional healing, whatever we need from the Father to be totally productive on this earth and totally happy, He has it for us.
So she was the one that God selected to be your mother, who didn't even know that, and you didn't even know that, was praying for you all along, step by step. Well, what happened on the day you were healed? Was she praying for you then?
Yeah, she had been telling her friend that something, well, this is kind of embarrassing, but she said that something...
Well, just between you and me.
Something big, that was gonna. She said it's going to be the best Easter ever, because, you know, I was healed during the Easter season, and she was just, you know, so excited about it. And after the fact, and we got the very first year of all of us being together, that lady, you know, told her, she said, whatever happened then? And we realized it was you know, it was the time of my healing.
She knew something big was going to happen. So God restored everything. And God is so good. Do you find that when you speak in front of people that God does some restoring for other people?
There's nothing He won't do. I mean, and the Father does miracles on this earth. I mean, it says...
Well, tell me a miracle that happened while you were speaking.
Oh, there's lots of them.
Tell me one.
Okay, there was a 21-year-old girl recently that was healed of blindness. And God does all of that because He wants to show His power on the earth to forgive sin.
Now, I have to ask you, going back to your mother, you just live with her, or were you actually adopted?
We went to do all those procedures. In the state of Iowa, you can adopt an adult. We didn't do that because I didn't want my name changed.
But that's your mother.
That's my mother.
What would you say to someone that's watching us right now that says, boy, that is an incredible story, but my situation is so impossible. Will you look at that person and talk to them right now?
Whatever your situation is, give the whole thing to the Father. Don't just give parts of it, but let's give the whole thing to Jesus. And let's say, Jesus, we don't know how You can control this. We don't know how You can take care of it, but I give You all of this whole issue. And I ask You, Father, to solve it and to heal it, because You're a miracle-working God, and because Your Son died on the cross for my restoration, no matter what the restoration is. And we thank You, Father. In Jesus' name.
Don't you dare ever say anything is impossible for the living God. What you heard is a true story, and I know something about God from the book, the Bible. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. In other words, what He'll do for one, He'll do for all. Do you know the Bible says that He sends His rain, which is indicative of life, on the just and the unjust alike? Do you realize the love of God? And some of you have been hiding from God. Some of you, because of your sins, have said, God can't love me. God must have given up on me. He sent me to speak to you right now, to tell you that you are valuable. Marlene was so valuable to God. And that's wonderful for Marlene. But I say to you, based on the authority of the integrity of the living God, you have value. You have worth. Don't give up. God has never given up on you. He has faith in you. If you repent of your sins, that means turn away from your sin, tell God you're sorry, because He's the one you've sinned against, not that other person. He's the one you've sinned against, and ask Him to give you the power to overcome that sin, because Jesus died to have your sins washed away, And he died to restore you with God the Father so that you can have the power to overcome. There's someone that had whiplash and you have just been healed in Jesus' name, and someone's back has just been healed, and someone's hip, and the anointing's in the head. God's a healing God, but most of all, he is a loving God. He loves you so much, so much.